¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Vasquez beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Romel Kielko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Panterita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And tonight we have a show for you. First off, a big thank you to our presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, personal injury attorney, is going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. Whether you get in a car accident, motorcycle, the Daspit Law Firm is going to have you covered. They'll work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need. So our thanks to the Daspit Law Firm. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of soccer tonight. This is going to be a very interview-based show here tonight. We have a number of great guests on this program tonight. You're going to hear from a young talent, a right back that plays for FC Dallas. He's been capped twice by the U.S. national team. His name is Reggie Cannon. He is in camp with the U.S. national team right now. We do know the U.S. is going to be coming to Houston to take on Chile at BBVA Compass Stadium in the near future. So Reggie Cannon, we're going to talk to him about a number of things, but his desires, his camp now with the new U.S. manager, Greg Berhalter. Daryl Morey is the general manager of the Houston Rockets, and I've always found Daryl Morey very interesting. Tonight we'll have him on. We're going to touch on a number of topics here. We're going to talk about the modern general manager. We're going to talk about similarities between the game of soccer and the Rockets in the NBA. We're going to talk about theater. We're going to talk about music with Daryl Morey because he's very into those things as well. Social media and players, consequence in the NBA and professional sports currently. So these are all things along with, you know, connecting with a fan base that we'll talk with Daryl Morey tonight, and we appreciate him doing that. Dave Mazur, longtime friend of mine, grew up in New Jersey together, former professional soccer player also, long career at St. John's University in Queens, New York. Won a national title there, just done wonderful jobs with young players and student-athletes throughout his career. I'm going to talk to Dave about where the college game fits now in the soccer landscape in the United States with targeted allocation money, general allocation money, academies. Where does the college game sit right now? And what are some of the big desires? And should the college game go to a two-semester sport where they play both in the fall and the spring? Kiki Struna. Now, I said he was going to be on the show last night, but we had a roundtable, and we had Paul Holliker of the Houston Dynamo in of the who's heading up the academy now. And Paul was wonderful on the show. Kiki Struna is the defender the Dynamo spent allocation money on. They made a big investment in him. He's that center back that everybody has desired. He's vocal. He's intense. He's tattooed. And he's a guy who's played in the Italian Serie A. So Kiki Struna will be on the show. We'll talk about his influences. We'll talk about his upbringing in the game. We'll talk about why he's making the move now to Major League Soccer and the Houston Dynamo and what expectations we are going to have here in Houston for him. So looking forward to interviewing Kiki Struna on this program tonight. And then we'll wrap it up tonight with Brian Chiaretta. Now, Brian Chiaretta has got a great pulse on American talent that's playing all over the globe. Always very up to date on players. We'll talk to him about Timothy Weah and the potential at Celtic for him and some of the other rising stars for the United States that are around the world. Brian's a regular guest on the show, has been excellent. So Brian Sciarretta will be a part of the show. So we've got Reggie Cannon, U.S. national team. We've got Daryl Morey, the GM of the Houston Rockets. We've got Kiki Struna, the new Dynamo defender from Slovenia. We've got Dave Major of St. John's University. And we've got Brian Sciarretta of American Soccer Now. So that is the rundown tonight. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to get right back into it. Remember, hit us up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook Soccer Matters. Get over to Instagram also, Glenn Davis Sock, and boost our numbers over there a little bit. The more you boost our numbers, the better it is for soccer discussion. And we thank you for your support as always. All right, stay with us. We'll take a Daspit Law Firm break here. We're coming back. Let's get this going tonight.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on here. Hey, a quick word here for Kingsport. Now, soccer fans, the real soccer pub in Edo is Kingsport. Right near the stadium at 903 Hutchins, they've got 13 TVs, a giant big screen. Get down there. You can watch all of Major League Soccer. You can watch all the Premier League matches, La Liga, Bundesliga. They have it. 24 taps, great food, and a great selection of spirits and beer. Go in, say hello to Jay, KingsCourtTX.com. Wonderful opportunity to now catch up in national team camp from FC Dallas. A very talented right back, a young guy at only 20 years of age, making his mark in both Major League Soccer and with the national team. He's Reggie Cannon. Reggie, thank you very much for coming on the program.
No worries, man. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, me too. So, real quick, I know you just got off the training field, so tell us kind of what's going on with Greg Berhalter and where the mood is and kind of the initial insight into this camp.
You know, Greg's he's a very exciting character. You know, he's trying his best to bring his ideologies and incorporate them into the national team, and one of those ideologies is definitely competition. You know, we're doing a little tournament kind of points thing. You know, every game you win, you gain a point, and they're going to keep track of those for the rest of the month. And, you know, Greg's is big on competition. He thinks that's really going to help, you know, us off the field and on the field. You play like you train. So those training games, we're going to go a little bit harder. We're going to try more to get those wins. You know, I think he's done a very good job of incorporating that into the national team. But, you know, it's been a really interesting inclusion. I think Greg's going to be a great coach, man.
So much like coaches and managers have to understand their players, it's the same with players and the coach, right? So
right. When
you look at Greg Berhalter and having played against the Columbus Crew and his type of teams, what's your perspective when you look at him as to kind of what does this manager want?
Yeah, Greg is a coach that really wants association and numerical superiority around the ball. You know, he doesn't want us to be afraid to play out of the back and not just hit it long, you know. Especially with, if you look at Columbus' style of play, they love to get their fullbacks forward and look for that numerical superiority out wide, but also combining to the middle and getting those small passes to open up the defense to get people to come in those gaps. You know, he stressed it a lot, especially in these trainings, that he wants us to play, and he doesn't want us to be afraid of building out of the back, even though we may make mistakes. He wants us to just try it and get comfortable with it, and that's something he's really enforced these past few days.
What's the camaraderie like around all these young guys? And I may ask you this in a prior interview with you, but do you guys get the sense that, look, this is real opportunity? We're obviously a lot of young guys who have an opportunity to make our mark now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of young guys coming in, you know. I kind of feel old here. That's weird saying it, but there's a lot of young guys coming in who are trying to make their mark, just like I was a couple of months ago. You know, it's intense on the field, and I think, you know, everyone's just trying to make their mark, and, you know, that's something that Greg loves with these players coming in, because we have a lot of players here. We have about 28, I think. You know, it's going to be a huge competition to be able to make those roster, you know, in those games and even step on the field. So everyone's really given their heart these trainings, and, you know, you can really tell that people are hungry for that position.
Reggie Cannon joining us, FC Dallas, also the U.S. national team. Got his first cap, I believe it was against Peru. What was that moment like, putting on a U.S. jersey and representing the United States against a country like Peru that is noted in world soccer?
You know, man, that's been a dream I've had since I was little, you know, and to finally accomplish it, it's surreal, man. I mean, stepping on that field and, you know, giving everything I have for the country, it's the best feeling in the world, and there's nothing like it. You know, I was kind of hesitant the first half, trying to get the butterflies out, but I really think the second half I stepped into those shoes and really got comfortable with the team, and, you know, now I'm just kind of one of the guys, you know, and it was really powerful to have that impact on the team and to be able to step out there and, you know, get my first cap.
FC Dallas Academy player, Grapevine area. You played high school soccer there as well. At what point did soccer as a youth go from being just something you love playing to all of a sudden, wow, you know, I can make a career out of this. I can go to college. I could be a professional soccer player. Where did that light bulb go on?
You know, it started to really dawn on me, you know, around 7th or 8th grade in middle school. That was when I really started to think that this could become a reality of mine. This is what I want to do. You know, I've always had that dream to be a professional soccer player since I was little, but, you know, I realized it could actually become a reality in that 7th grade, 8th grade stage. And, you know, playing soccer, it felt right for the most part. It felt energetic. I just didn't get that feeling with other sports. It felt those shoes. When I stepped into those cleats, it felt right, and I would be so excited every time I step on the field. And obviously, I'm a competitor, but it just didn't feel the same competing, you know, in track, basketball, football. It didn't feel the same to me. Soccer was just a different element, and that's what I really enjoy about it.
Was it ever sort of a popularity pull at all? It doesn't sound like it, but, you know, we in the state of Texas, as you so very well know, high school football is huge. It's incredibly social. It's massive, and there's always a bit of a tug and a pull sometimes with some of the better athletes. Was that ever a push or pull from you and coaches trying to get you to play football?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, I've had to struggle with. You know, I'll never understand just everywhere else in the world it's soccer, you know, and in America we're just so, you know, it's just the way the culture is built. But, you know, and deep in my heart, I wish, you know, people would respect the soccer craft like they do everyone else's, you know. But that's something we have to incorporate in our game. We have to show people that soccer is enjoyable and it's fun to watch. And, you know, hopefully one day it will be as big as the other sports. But, you know, for now, we just got to keep our head down and keep grinding.
When you look at your growth and growing up, you've got a family. I read an amazing article about the academic side of your family. You got a Nobel Prize winner in your family.
Yeah.
I would imagine this is a bit of a push and pull, too, from going to college for 4 years. You went to UCLA and then you came out. Speak to me a little bit about, obviously, the high level of concern on academics in your household and education, but then being able to make the move and convince everybody that, hey, this is right for me.
Yeah, it was a very tough decision, especially to convince my parents that I should sign that contract, you know. I mean, not abandoning college, but, you know, putting college on hold for the most part was very tough, not only on me, but my family. Just coming from a family of long award winners, long academic, you know, just academic prizes and stuff, it was tough for me because it wasn't a priority for me at the time. You know, soccer was what I enjoyed doing most, and, you know, I took a risk, and it definitely paid off, man. But it was, I think I made the right decision in the end, but I think that semester at UCLA really helped prepare me for the next level. You know, I mean, you know, 2017, it was tough. You know, my parents were, you know, pushing for me, you know, because I didn't play much that year. And coming straight out of college, it was tough. You know, you got a lot of people saying, you know, you should have stayed. But, you know, I just kept my head down and kept working my butt off, and eventually it paid off, man. You know, 2018, wasn't playing 1 minute in 2017 to almost every minute in 2018, man. It was a surreal year, man. I can't thank the coaching staff of FC Dallas enough, because that transformation really helped push me to the next level.
Reggie Cannon joining us, FC Dallas, U.S. national team. All right, so, you know, in differing systems where you play out wide, differing things occur. Obviously, with FC Dallas, you're playing in a back four, getting forward. You've played in a system where you're, you know, in a sort of a five-man midfield as the midfield as a wide guy with three central defenders. These are very differing things, right? And boy, the tactical acumen you have to play as a wide guy in those positions with a lot of space against remarkable athletes and technical players. Has that been tough, being versatile, going from differing systems?
Yeah, it's definitely been tough, especially these past few days, man. And it's tough to just adjust from Oscar Pereira's style of play to Greg Berhalter's, you know, and they're two completely different coaches. But you know, that's what you signed up for, you know. You signed up to be able to play and under all conditions. And, you know, no one ever said it would be easy, but, you know, having Gray wants you to play smaller balls and closer balls will often want, you know, that dynamics part of the team, just be more of a counter-attacking side and just be strong defensively. You know, Greg really emphasized playing through lines and being able to attack through those lines and break forward, and building out of the back. And, you know, Greg's all about playing, man. It's just two different styles that, you know, you're going to have to lean toward one way or the other, depending on who you're with at the time. But, you know, I think I'm starting to adjust well. It's just going to take some time.
Again, Reggie Cannon, only 20 years of age. What's one aspect to your game that you're really focused on when you're looking to stretch your game and take it to another level? Because that's an ongoing process, obviously.
Yeah, you know, one part of my game that I've always wanted to exceed is, you know, getting those assists and getting those goals. And that's what's going to propel me to the next level, man. It's something I've always struggled with, but, you know, I'm working on it hard, and that's something I really want to be able to do, to be that goal scorer, to be that assist, to be that playmaker, as even as a right back. I want to be able to be as effective as possible in that position. And, you know, it's tough, you know, just with all the running, but, you know, that's what it's going to take. And hopefully it'll click soon, but I'm working hard on it, and hopefully one day it'll just click.
Well, you're a well-put-together, talented young man, Reggie. You're doing some great stuff for both FC Dallas and the national team. We really appreciate you coming on. Best of luck with everything in the future, and thanks again for coming on the program.
No worries. Thank you, guys.
All right, that's Reggie Cannon, FC Dallas, U.S. national team in camp. We'll take a break. It's a Daspit Law Firm break.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. How about a quick word here for the King's Court? It is the real soccer pub in Edo. It's right next to the stadium, BBVA Compass, at 903 Hutchins. 13 TVs. They've got giant big screens in there. They're going to show all the Premier League matches, La Liga, Champions League, the Bundesliga, the Houston Dynamo games on the Cube that we call every year. They've got the NFL Sunday ticket as well. King's Court, 24 taps, a full bar, an extensive selection of spirits, wonderful pub food. The butter chicken is recommended. Curry is amazing as well. Get over to King's Court. Visit the amazing rooftop deck. Say hello to Jay, KingsCourtTX.com. And with that, next interview is really, really interesting. I've always liked following Daryl Morey of the Houston Rockets, their general manager, and his insight on things and the fact that he thinks a little bit out of the box. Here's an interview from yesterday I did with Daryl Morey on all things from soccer to the NBA to James Harden, right on down to music and theater. Well, Daryl, I know you have an interest in the sport of soccer, so kind of connect the dots for me.
Rental football, we like to call it, right?
Yes, so. Sir.
yeah, big time. My son's big into soccer and watch it, watch the Premier League. The Champions League, everything, pretty much every week. So I feel like I can learn a lot from those guys, meet with their staff. They're ahead on a lot of things, I think, like training and things like that. So it's a good way for me to learn. That said, I feel like mostly I don't know a whole lot, honestly.
But do you see a lot of parallels between the two sports? I mean, the common give and go is evident in soccer. It's in the NBA. A guy posting in the NBA, maybe like a center forward in soccer, posting up on a central defender to get a ball at his feet. Do you see that, the movement and passing of the ball?
I think it's super now, except for how the game is scored. I think it's very similar in a lot of the strategy, spacing, you know, uniqueness of offensive talent. Yeah, I mean, except for the obvious differences of more players and scoring is radically different. Yeah, I see a lot of parallels.
And, you know, the other thing we'd like to get rid of, Daryl, and we're speaking to Daryl Morey, the GM of the Houston Rockets. The other thing we want to get rid of is that term friendly. I can't stand that term.
Well, and they list the home and away team backwards. There's just all these little things that we got to fix.
Absolutely. All right, so let me take you into your role as a general manager. I remember before last season, and I love this, you came out and you just basically set your marker out. You stuck your flag in the sand and you said, you know, our goal this year is to beat the Golden State Warriors. Now, that was an epic series. What, in your mind, is important when you talk to your fan base? Because you are a conduit to your fan base. And when you, you know, kind of set out your stake for the year, I think that's fantastic, that transparency you have with them.
Yeah, people acted like it was sort of controversial. And I'm like, well, what is everyone else doing? Like, if you're trying to win the title, it's pretty much a given that you're probably going to have to play Golden State. So I didn't, you know, I tend to say a lot of these things that seem fairly obvious to me, you know, like who's the greatest player in the league and James Harden's one of the best offensive players ever. And, you know, we want to be Golden State, and people sort of take them as radical sometimes, which surprises me.
But is it important in your role as a GM to be an inspirational leader and to really be connected with the fan base? Because I think you do an outstanding job of that. I mean, you're always dispensing great information. Does it ever get fearful that it might hurt you from a competitive standpoint?
No, I think it helps us in that it helps our recruiting. I think players around the league, you know, want to be part of a team that has a clear vision and a clear direction. And I think if you read like Jim Collins' management theory, you always want to have a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal. And, you know, and you want to set that direction. You know, that said, it can backfire. You know, we've had down years where people, you know, thought we were crazy. But, you know, before we got James Harden, we were saying that we thought Houston was a big destination for free agents. You know, you do risk yourself looking stupid, but I think overall the calculation is the right thing. You want to be out there and out front.
Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey. I love doing interviews like this with people, number one, that are smarter than me, and number two, that are in sports that I don't know a whole lot about, even though I kind of connect the dots with the NBA. You recently said around the trade deadline, we're buyers. We're buyers. Tell me a little bit about that and why you would say that.
Yeah, I think sort of that's what the media uses, that buyers and sellers term. So I just took that up. I mean, we have one of the greatest players, you know, in NBA history on our team. Actually, we have two of them. You know, one, you know, Chris Paul is already in the Hall of Fame of his career, with his career to date, and he's got a lot to go. And James Harden might be getting close to that as well. And when you have two guys in their prime who are two of the best in NBA history, I mean, what else are you here for except to be buying and trying to improve the team and trying to take down the Warriors and everyone else in the league?
So for me, out of all the pro sports league, I think the NBA is the best at storytelling and telling the stories. I think that's an area here in Major League Soccer that we have a long way to go, and we've got a lot to learn, and we have to, you know, kind of grab the confidence of telling all stories and not just the ones that are flowery and good.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about that. And is that a part of your job? Is that a part of your job to storytell?
I think so. I mean, at the end of the day, we're an entertainment business. And I was going to say ties and no playoffs. My job just got a lot easier. Still one of the all-time great videos. You know, people haven't seen it when they had the football coach go over to overseas. But, I mean, we're an entertainment business. At the end of the day, people want to come and see a spectacle. They come tonight because they want to see James Harden do something great or Giannis Antetokounmpo do something great. So I do think the league office has done a great job of telling stories. I think our game lends itself to that. And, you know, I think that's another reason why soccer is so big is, the sports where you don't have helmets or gear that might distance you from the players, I think, have a big edge going forward into the future. And I think soccer and the NBA are two, I always say those two plus esports are the big winners in the future. They're going to draw the biggest audiences.
I worry about lack of consequence in Major League Soccer and other pro leagues as well. Do you worry about that a little bit during the regular season, that things can get a little bit flatlined based on, you know, I look at MLS and it's like so many teams make the playoffs. It's, you know, you always hear coaches going,
it's
a long season, you know, and it's like, well, you know, let me know in the long season when you're going to go for it. You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword.
I do. I think it's an issue. I think it's an issue with the NBA, and the NBA has looked at different solutions. You want either fewer teams making the playoffs or you want more tiers. I think the NFL actually does it the best, where the top two teams get a bye, and you have about six making it out on each side out of 32. I like their structure. The NBA, I know, has looked at different ways of having different tiers. You know, the bottom teams have to play their way in and one and done. The top two teams get a bye. You know, these kinds of solutions are probably going to happen in the various sports league over time. You know, things are slow to change. I think soccer is a little caught like baseball, and they're stuck in their history and resistant to change. One nice thing about the NBA and even the NFL is there's more openness to changing the rules and the structure, which I think is going to help both those leagues going forward.
All right. Now, I know you have a big love of the theater. Tell me a little bit about that. Where did that kind of get cultivated?
Yeah, just from a young age, always loved. I even loved concept albums like Pink Floyd, The Wall, and Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell, and, you know, stuff like that.
Tommy the Who, right?
Tommy the Who, the most famous. Yeah, I should have mentioned that one first. So,
well, you weren't born then, were you? Were you even born then?
I was around. And David Bowie had his concept album. So, I've always been attracted to music with a theme or a concept, and musicals sort of fit into that. And so it's just been something I've liked for a long time. I can't really explain it too much beyond that.
So when the Rolling Stones come here in April, is that a concept or is that a wheelchair show? Because I'm going, by the way.
I've never seen them live. I actually don't. I'm not sure I want to. I might want to remember them. I didn't catch Elton John when he came in. I just I didn't see Queen when they had a replacement lead singer. I Fleetwood Mac's coming in, and you know they don't have Lindsey Buckingham, so I'm a bit nostalgic. I want to remember him more in their prime a little bit, for me personally.
Yeah, I'm 100% on the Queen with you. I can't see Queen without Freddie Mercury. No question.
Yeah, I mean, he might be the all-time great lead singer, so that one's a little tough to replace, yeah.
Well, and you would appreciate him with your love of theater because he had the great opera singing background.
He did. And he even had the London Philharmonic doing his shows. I mean, it was pretty amazing. A lot of people don't realize that.
Do you remember at the end of his career, he had a really, I believe it was a Spanish lady who was a famous opera singer, and he went over and sang in Spain with her. Fantastic.
Yeah, they did, and I think they did that around when they did the one of the opening songs of the 92 Olympics as well, if my memory's right. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, good stuff, so.
He's Daryl Morey, GM of the Houston Rockets, also a lover of theater and music. Let me just ask you a little bit, if you project out looking at the NBA, what do you see in the future? Number one, from the playing style, do we see anything different? Like in the world of soccer now, it's all about the pressing game, and the minute you lose the ball, you're trying to get it back in favorable areas so you can get immediate chances on goal. What do you see in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, one thing is I don't know, or otherwise we'd be doing it already. But one nice thing about the NBA, and I think soccer is another parallel, is that, you know, styles do change, innovations happen, the game is really dynamic. As teams are pressing, I'm sure there's been counters in soccer that's happening in the NBA as well. I think you're going to continue to see a more and more fun style, and that's really happening. I think it's no accident that ratings are the highest in the NBA. against, you know, a plethora of other entertainment options that are out there. You know, one thing on soccer is I haven't really seen, like, the pressing was something I'd been pushing for years that needed to happen in soccer. It just made sense to me. But I haven't seen the adjustments made on the defensive end, in that, you know, teams are still, like, almost readily playing into those pressing styles, you know, in their defensive end, and instead of playing more positional ball. So, again, I don't know enough to really talk about it, but, you know, it reminds me in the NBA, the offenses were ahead of the defenses, where, you know, coaches were figuring out how to attack more on offense before the defenses adjusted. And I think, you know, that's something that's probably coming in soccer as well.
Well, Daryl, you just made it clear you don't like sitting through deep defending soccer teams that are playing for a goal on the counterattack or a set piece. So I'm with you on that one. Thank you. I don't waste my time watching those teams anymore, honestly. Life's too short and too precious. I can't for 2 hours watch a team not want to cross their own halfway line.
Who's the biggest one? Is that team in Madrid, right? Not Real, but the other one, right?
Atletico.
Athletic, though, they play like that, yeah. But actually, I appreciate that they're innovating, even if it's not a style that people like to watch. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it can lead to something greater.
No doubt. I appreciate it too, and it does take work to do it that way. It just seems like there's less and less teams doing that. Certainly in Major League Soccer. Let me get a couple more questions to you and let you get going, because I know you're trying to make a connection. We're talking to Daryl Morey, the GM of the Houston Rockets. This has been a lot of fun here so far. All right, all the time I hear this, Daryl, and this just bugs me. I hear people, friends, peers, even people that are within organizations professionally down here. Houston is not a good sports town. Do you buy that?
No, that's wrong. I mean, I think if you saw our playoff run last year, you saw the town was completely behind us, the Astros, so... I mean, I think people say that maybe because Houston's still a city where a lot of people are from other parts of the country. So we often get a lot of fans of the visiting team in our building because of that, just because we're the fastest growing large city in the country. So I think that's maybe why people say that. But otherwise, I mean, Houston is, you know, I've been in a lot of great sports cities, and I put Houston right up there with any other.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Social media and players now. Obviously, it can be a real boon and a benefit to organizations. It can also be a real detriment. How do you guys handle that at the Rockets?
I mean, we're fully behind it. We sort of take the NBA's lead. Again, we're an entertainment sport, so we actually want our players to be out front as long as they're doing it smartly. And we've got, you know, we've been very fortunate. We have very smart players. So I think, obviously, you can get yourself in trouble on social media, and I've got myself in hot water here and there as well, but I think largely we got players who like to interact on social media and do it smartly, and I think at the end of the day, that's our job. Our job is to entertain, and you know, I think having your players not on social media doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't. All right, how about one quick word on James Harden, something we don't know about him. We know he's a tremendous basketball player, an amazingly gifted athlete. Anything about his personality?
I mean, I think the thing is he's a quiet guy, so people, like, interpret that in different ways. But, I, you know, as someone who knows him well, he's extremely smart, extremely articulate, and, you know, he really just cares about winning. So I think that's why you don't see him talk a whole lot. And, you know, sometimes that hurts him relative to some of the other players. But yeah, I'd say if I had to pick one word, I'd go with outlier. The Wall Street Journal had a nice article today on James being one of the more unique players in NBA history. So pretty cool.
Is it important for you and the Rockets every day to put out information about your players, about the team, you know, about the upcoming game? Is that important that every day that has to keep coming to keep people's attention?
I think that's important. The lucky thing is we don't really have to engineer it just because we have so many compelling players with Chris Paul and James Harden and Clint, and just tons of compelling players that other people are writing about it. So that's been nice, so we don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but I do think it is important.
Daryl Morey, the GM of the Rockets. Here is the last one. I've saved my toughest question for the last.
Oh, no.
How? Okay. I know you, I can tell you're shaking in your boots, Daryl. How do you think Major League Soccer, and specifically here in Houston, how does it get more of mainstream attention and coverage?
I think it's just a matter of time. I would say I've thought a good amount about this. And, you know, one thing that's working against it is obviously people are gravitated to the greatest players. And that's why, you know, the NBA is just massive relative to European basketball, which is very good. So, but I do think the analogy is pretty close. You know, the top leagues in Europe, relative to the MLS, is pretty similar to the top European basketball leagues to the NBA. And the European basketball leagues have found a really, really nice niche over there, over time. And a lot of the listeners who are soccer fans, the basketball clubs are pretty much the same as the soccer clubs over there because of the tradition. And I think it's just as soccer grows globally, it'll move up. But people should realize it's going to be a slow process. And I know it's been a slow process to this point. But, you know, the growth of leagues historically, it takes sometimes 30, 40 years before they reach their peak where they're going to be. And I think MLS is on that path, basically.
Well, listen, Daryl, thank you so much. I'll see you at the Stones concert. I hope you change your mind. And thank you. No, thank you very much for coming on. This is really interesting, and I know my listeners will love this interview.
Thanks for having me, Glenn. Appreciate it.
Take care, Daryl. Best of luck in the rest of the season.
Thank you.
So that was Rockets general manager Daryl Morey, and I agree 100% with him. We do not go see Queen without Freddie Mercury. All right, we'll take a break here. Before we do, though, a quick word here from my friends down at Advantage BMW. Now, I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've owned from Advantage BMW in Midtown numerous times. I love the drive of a BMW. After all, it is the ultimate driving machine. I drive a 5 Series. I love it. The other thing I love is the customer service at BMW. It's second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown has you covered with sales, service, finance, and it can be done so easy. Get the hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown, AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Go down there, say hello to Philip, Justin, Sergio. These guys are big fans of soccer. They love the sport. We've even done a live show down there and plan on doing some more in the future. Advantage BMW as we take a break.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.